One pervades on the mountains, one pervades on the sea, one pervades made the sun and the moon, every bird, every flower, every tree. One pervades on the valleys, the ocean, the rivers, and the sand. Those hands are so strong, so when life goes wrong, put your faith into one pair of hands. One pair of hands heal the sick. One pair of hands raise the dead. One pair of hands calm the raging storm. And thousands of people were fed. One pair of hands said, I love you. And those hands were nailed to a tree. Those hands are so strong, so when life goes wrong, put your faith into one pair of hands. Those hands are so strong, so when
everybody, Pastor Buddy, I'm joining you live tonight. WCR 5890 on your radio dial on the transmitting Jewel of the South, located in Nashville, Tennessee. Glad to have you in here. Got a great one for you tonight. The Issachar calendar. You know, it's nice to know what time it is. As a matter of fact, most of the world has been taken out of the time clause, and we've gone into the clutches of Santa Claus in a certain aspect of the time. We're caught up in some pagan times is what I'm talking about, and we need to be about Yahweh's time. Now, there's a scripture concerning the sons of Issachar. I've talked about the sons of Issachar, how that they were to be gifted and specially anointed for a particular reason. We're going to give you that reason again and remind you of what time it is. It's time for all good men to worship Yahweh with the calculated Hebrew calendar, not the Gregorian. We're going to get into the true equinox in certain aspects. We're also going to get into the time of rest in certain aspects of the Hebrew calendar as it relates to our times today, which Yahweh done distinctively said, your ways are not my ways. As the heaven is higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than man's ways. Now, we know that man has often sought, premeditated according to the Bible, to change Yahweh's times and laws, because you see, whatever Yahweh's for and the like, the devil in darkness tries to undo it and turn darkness into light. There, you know, the Bible says, make sure that the light in you be not darkness. Now, what was he talking about? Well, he was talking about, actually, the times that have changed, and in Daniel 7:25, they shall premeditate, think they are concerned on how to change times and laws, and they've done a good job. You have to hand it to the Gregorian calendar originators. Now, they've been around for quite a while, the Julian calendar, and the calendar that we have since the 1300s by Pope Gregory, called the Gregorian. And it's now the accepted norm time setter. It's not an Issachar calendar. It's not a Hebrew calendar. Matter of fact, the Hebrew lunar solar plays no part, or very little, if any, and if it does play a part, it's probably by accident, not on purpose. Because, you see, the children of darkness, which are wiser than the children of light, and had it not been for the sons of Issachar, who knew a little bit about what I'm going to talk about, and I'm going to use them as a gestalt of understanding, here it is that the men of Issachar had understanding of the times. Now, also they had an understanding to know. Now, when the people of darkness, who appeared as men of light, you know, I've noticed something about people, and over the years that I've been on the planet, and I've been here for about 75 years, and I've learned this much, that which is highly esteemed among man is an abomination to Yahweh. So, the reason that I'm so negative, down, and against the Gregorian calendar, and you would be too if you've done a thorough research study, take time to shine the light of understanding. Our words were condemned. And also it says, power of life and death is in the tongue. Now, the tongue is an unruly member, has to be put under subjection and tamed by the Holy Ghost, or the Holy Ruach, the Holy Anointing. Now listen to this verse here that we're going to read in 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 32. I want you to study with me tonight and listen to what the time it is according to the Issachar calendar. They knew a little bit about something about what you should know about today. The children of Issachar, who had understanding of the times. Now, I'd just like for you to remember this. Who had understanding of the times. Well, the Bible says in Daniel chapter 12, verse 4, they shall run to and fro, and much knowledge. Now remember, I said there's two ways to look at knowledge. One shining in the light of truth, and one shining in the light of darkness. Now, you say, Pastor Buddy, how could darkness present light? Taking something man-made as opposed to the astrological signs of the heavens, according to the book of Genesis, chapter 1, verse 14, where I'm going to concentrate just a little bit later on, if I get time, in the astrological signs that was given that these men of Issachar, and that's why we call it an Issachar calendar, as opposed to a Gregorian, or anything that presents itself against the knowledge of the truth of scriptures and the preponderance of the evidence that can be brought forth. Now, we studied quite a while in the lunar calendar, one of the, I think, and I'm in the minority, I don't think like the majority, that's quite sure. I'm not caught up in the simplicity of the solar calendar as given the time count of the Gregorian. They are accurate within 400 years, given 3 or 4 days. But that's like pitching horseshoe. That would work if it were pitching horseshoe, but it's not an Issachar thought that I'm trying to project tonight, because it's not perfect. Yahweh has a perfect system and a perfect calendar to be determined by the preponderance of evidence studied to show yourself approved, workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now I pray for you. I pray for your understanding. I pray for Yahweh to take you out of man's ways, which is an abomination. Now, as good as the Gregorian calendar is, I'd still have to say that it's an abomination to use this form of times and worship if it conflicts with the Issachar, the calendar that we're going to talk about tonight in respect to the comparison of the two. Come out from among them. Now, who is the greatest proponent that is projecting or supporting or nailing the foundation to the floor of their understanding of the Gregorian calendar? And that would be the Catholic Church. Now, there's good Catholics. There's good people everywhere. But I hate to say this. There ain't no demand for good people because there ain't none. There's none good. No, not one. You can have good intentions and come up short. Hell and the way to hell is paved with good intentions. Don't be caught up in what the crowd does. Well, the Gregorian calendar has become such a wonderful mathematical, astrological piece of science. You know, something you can see, hear, taste, smell, and feel is the five senses looks upon the Gregorian calendar that hangs in practically every home. Now, if you was to really take the inkhorn of the understanding of Yahweh, who knows men's hearts, he knew the exact number of men hadn't bowed the knee to Baal. Isn't it wonderful if Yahweh comes around your house and there is not a Gregorian calendar set there for you to worship and keep times out of, when the men of Issachar had a different calendar, and I'm going to prove it. And I'd like to get back into the equinox to show you that from the beginning they had to change something that was a standard sign of the heaven. Now, Arcturus, which is the star, the brightest star in the constellation of Booth, which is the constellation that comes during the astrological event of Arcturus rising. And did you know that the ancient people, whether they had a college education or not, and very few did, they were agricultural. They didn't depend on a Gregorian calendar to tell them when to do this and when to do that. Now, we picked up the Gregorian, or the Julian, as we call it, before the Gregorian, and we found fault right off the bat when we look at the equinox and the time presented by the signs of the heavens and by nature itself. Now, man, who observes things like the birds, the swallows, and the stork, and things of this nature that we can read about as the times that they return in the event of spring. Now, they can't be wrong. The swallows always return in the month of February as opposed to the month of March. The stork knows the time of its coming and going. You know, the migrational birds, they've got something built in. Yahweh provided them, since they stay true to him. I'll give you the analogy of the bluebird and the red bird and the jaybird and all these blackbirds and yellow birds and things of this nature. And they will not crossbreed. They stay true to nature. Man and woman, man, you know, we're the only ones that have broken Yahweh's laws. Even the laws of nature. Nature teaches you, of course, that we need to go back and re-examine, lest we be deceived by the change of the Issachar calendar. Now, I'm going to project to you that the Issachar calendar was a calendar devised by great men of learning that were gifted. Let me go on and read the rest of this so I can get into the meat of the text here. The children of Issachar, who had understanding of the times, to know what Israel ought to do. Now, not that it would do, because we know that Israel never kept a jubilee long enough to declare a jubilee year. It's not biblically written if they did, because of their transgressions and the warnings to do so. Now, listen to what the Bible says. To Israel, the men of Issachar knew with an understanding of the times of what to do. I mean, right now it's the biggest boondoggle that you could, it's Babylon at its highest sin that's reaching into heavens, where they would think to change times and laws and get you out of a sequence of events. And we're going to talk a little bit about the courses of the priest. I was talking to my good brother down in Mississippi the other night. Man, he gave me the chills and thrills when we was talking about this, when he brought up the subject of one more nail in the coffin against the Gregorian, and it was a plus for the Issachar calendar of the courses, the 24 courses. Now, that would be 212, and each tribe served 2 weeks in the courses, and they had a 48-week course 2 6-month divisions of time in the 24 courses, which was orchestrated by David in the event of what we're reading here within 1 Chronicles. And we're looking at the calendar of the change as opposed to men of Issachar who had understanding of the times. Now, who are you going to call when you've got a misunderstanding of times? Well, to call those who could tell Israel what they ought to know. Well, here we are, preaching to you, and you haven't danced any. We're still in minority. It's hard to overcome a calendar that's hung on your walls of your mothers and your daddies and their grandmothers and their grandfathers. And we're talking about a calendar that goes back to the 13th century. With, we can say, a modification at that time. We've already preached to you how the calendar was modified. It was a smooth roaring engine, but it was missing a few points on the 12 cylinders, if you will. And so they did this masterful job of doing away with months, and we're going to prove to you that months has a relationship and the time and the times of change, as opposed to the weekly 52 weeks to the year, and we're wondering why that we got a weekly calendar as opposed to the calendar of the Issacharians, which was a monthly calendar. It was the new moon beginning and ending, if you will. A new moon would end it, a new moon would begin it, and a new moon would end it. Now, the beacon, the system that Yahweh chose is astoundingly accurate. Within the framework of the lunar, if you will follow the advice of Ezekiel chapter 46, and we've talked about that several times, that the calendar, which has been changed, and by men who love to change times and laws, and the great controversy is going on right today when we still have got men of knowledge of Issachar who understood the times, which meant a calculated calendar. That is, they knew by the division of time in the heavens, by the moon, the beacon, the stars, and the festivals. All these are a combination of factors that we factor into the Hebrew calendar that the sons of Issachar knew about because they were masters of knowing about time. And I've been blessed with sons of Issachar and daughters that descended from this great man. You know what the Bible really says? It says that Issachar and his sons were men of valor. Now, we take it that they were great warriors, because valor has to do with those who, well, you know, I mean, it's just imposing or supposing, if you will, that they were men of war. Now, they were men. They produced soldiers into the army of David. We know that because we can read it here in the book of Chronicles, like it implies, that these were men of valor. But the distinctive honor goes to the scientific mind. Did you know that men of great minds could be considered men of valor and bravery? Did you know anybody that dares to go against what's now accepted as the norm, to go into a house that's got a calendar of a Gregorian time and you tell them today's not Wednesday according to the Issachar calendar? They're going to look at you like you just fell off a turnip truck. You see, it's not popular, but men of valor, of truth, and understanding, and knowing from whence they came and to whom they are pledging allegiance to, would be considered men of valor. That's why we call it tonight's message the calendar of Issachar, or the Issacharian calendar. Now, why would we want to look at the Issacharian calendar? Simply that it's a unique Hebrew calendar that was kept. If you study how the sly, cunning craftiness of men of dark understanding. Now, I didn't say light of understanding, but dark understanding. And Christ, he alluded to that when he said, make sure you're understanding, or the light in you be not darkness. And so then, you might be in a way that seems right, with the subtle intent of Satan and his army of change. And boy, how do we like change. I mean, men will work overtime to go against Yahweh's laws. I mean, the bluebird and the redbird is content to sit on the tree limb or the power lines, the electric lines. They'll sit together there and chirp a little in similar bird tone. But when it comes to mating, they will not go against the wisdom that these men of Issachar, who would not go against the times that Yahweh has delegated and regulated and set through a calendar system, whereas the men of darkness, if they can get enough of them, the light looks real light. Oh, they give us a calendar. What day is it? Well, let me look here. Well, today's Monday, and I've got to go to work. Or today's Tuesday. Or today's Saturday. It's the Sabbath. It's the seventh day. Or today's the first day of the week. Ladies and gentlemen, the calendar controversy of the days of the children of Issachar, they are the ones that understood the time. And they knew what Yahweh had meant. And he gave them a calculated signs to follow. And these were men of renown and valor to tell Israel what they ought to do. And their chiefs were 200. And all their brethren were at their command. Everybody believed the time. The watchman on the wall, the ones that watch for the moon, the changing of the book of Ezekiel chapter 46, where he said, the gates are to only be open on a new moon. Now we know that a new moon is a dark moon. It has a beacon system set up exactly when we count Yahweh's times with the Issachar understanding that if we watch for the new moon, it stays dark, and when it changes or has light in its first light in the beacon, that's a signal to go to work. Now we're going to work 6 days according to Ezekiel. And the gates are going to be closed. Now remember this, we're going to open it in the new moon, could be open as many as 2 days. And when the first light comes in the globe in the heavens, it set that for all men to see. And the men of Issachar had an understanding to know this. Now, I'm sure that they were men in Israel that didn't have this understanding. But they needed to be taught. And Israel ought to know. Listen to what it said. To know what Israel ought to do. It didn't say they would do it, because we know that they wanted to keep the Baal calendars and serve the Baal gods and honor the gods of the pagan belief systems around them and ignore the men of Issachar who had understanding of the time that they lived in. Now, at this particular point that we're expressing ourselves, we were under a kingship that was rebelling, turning to divination, turning to the signs of the spirits that would talk. They would believe everything but the prophets. They would believe everything but the house of Issachar, who were, in fact, after this king, they realized that the king of Israel, who saw himself anointed and placed over Israel as their first king, Saul, we find that these men who begin to see the fruits and the works of Saul that wasn't of Yahweh, they turned, they were, some of these wise men were of the first to join David and the 600 men that he had. He only had 600 men with the count of Israel who all backed Saul. All Israel backed Saul. But the sons of Issachar had enough knowledge to know it was time to make a change. Well, today it's time to change your concepts and your understanding with more thorough research into the calendar system that we have been given, which would agree that they would think to change times and laws and do so right under our nose and pull it off to where the whole world, I don't know of a nation anywhere or a country sovereign as they are that flies a flag, a national flag, I don't know of one anywhere that refuses to sign on to the Gregorian calendar and use the Gregorian calendar as opposed to the Issachar calendar of wisdom, what Israel ought to do. You see, even Israel joined the pagan ranks and turned their back on Yahweh and went a whoring after other gods. Now, if you look at the history, you'll know that these pagan rituals of timekeeping played right into the hands of Satan and the men of darkness and dark understanding, which appeared as light, like the priests of Baal. Now, when Elijah went up there, he was a minority. He was the only man on top of Mount Carmel that drew him a calendar with the understanding of Issachar. Now, one of the greatest teaching aids that I've ever seen comes right out of the Bible, and it looks like a face of a clock that we wear on our wrist today called the wristwatch. We also have pocket watches, and we have clocks that hang on the wall, and it's got 12 numbers associated with it. Well, this old prophet, who was himself from the house of Issachar, now ain't that strange? We're talking about the old prophet Elijah. Now, when he went up on the hill, and he repaired the time of Yahweh that was taught by the sons of Issachar, these men of valor, who had set the times and the laws for Israel to observe and to practice and to follow and to shun the adopted pagan ways that Israel was doing and sinning. And here is Elijah. He restores, or he repairs, the great watch on the mountain, the great timepiece. 12 stones. And what do we have today? Well, we've got 12 jewels. These are stones that keep the time, and the hands go around, and the circle constantly reminds us that they're divided into segments of four seasons. And they coincide with the feast of Yahweh that we're talking about on the true equinox, and given descriptive signs that even nature itself would teach you that we've had a change. And I know it throws everything out of skelter. Well, we can't do that, Pastor Buddy. Change the times and laws. Well, we bought into it when they changed it in the 13th century. But we're opposed to it now because Mom and Dad done it so long, and their dads and their dads and their dads and so on, till it became a tradition that the year begins in the fall. Isn't that strange? The seventh month after the course, we're talking about the priesthood. If you find the seventh month, then count backward to the first month. And that would supposedly give you a time when the year begins. Now, was it a change? Or was it Yahweh re-educating the children of Israel who had been slaves for several generations and as a nation had forgotten many things, and Yahweh had to revive them with his law at Sinai? And people assume that the Ten Commandments were something new, but all of the commandments existed prior to Mount Sinai. The Sabbath was known even to Adam and Eve. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy, Exodus 20:8. It seems to imply that it had been forgotten. Cain murdered his brother and was punished. And Abimelech, when he tried to steal Sarah, he knew it would be adultery to have another man's wife. Because the commandment must have existed even prior to it being reintroduced. Sometimes Yahweh has to remind us, did the year begin in the fall and change to spring? Well, no. On the fourth day is when Yahweh revealed two great lights, the sun and the moon, and the stars to be for signs. Now, I didn't give you the seasons and for days. For signs, for seasons and for days and for years. We discussed that in Genesis 1:14. Now, notice this on the priesthood course. We've got each tribe given us two priests that would serve 2 weeks out of during the course of the year to bring in the 12 months, and sometime we had 13. We'll get in that in just a minute. But Israel had strayed. David didn't just introduce the 24 courses. Evidently, this came from a tradition long before David. And so then, prior to the divided light of dark, and the evening and the morning were the first day, and we've been taken out of that, ladies and gentlemen. Right there is a great change. The evening and the morning were the first day, Genesis 1 and 5. Now, Yahweh made the moon and the stars before the fourth day. They were just designated to start operating on that particular day when he called for them to spring into action. And so then, we have the beginning with that first evening beginning the day and ending it on the following evening. As the moon rotates around the earth and the earth around the sun, and these within the solar system that Yahweh puts up. The moon rotates around the earth. The sun's gravity pulls on the moon to a 23 degree approximately. And we have these beacon systems, if you will, flashing in the sky for every eye to see at its appropriate time. The moon is the closest satellite to the earth. And it's the closest in the fall. And because it's closer in the fall, it looks bigger. And that's why we call it the harvest moon. And the spring, it's the farthest away and appears smaller. Now, this is all designed by the great mathematician who the sons of Issachar, the men of valor, they already knew this. And they were watching from spring to fall. Now, we've been told that spring happens in March the 20th, the equinox, when we have equal time. Well, we don't have equal time on March the 20th. It's not true. It's an illusion that's been placed in our mind, if you will. It's true that within this period of time, now time is measured, it's measured 90 days from the point of the seasons, when we count 90 days into the future, that puts us up in the month of March, if you will, where we have the equinox, where we're told that we have the most equalist time from the small moon when it is in the spring because of the elliptical rotation. And it accounts for the light from the moon as it appears on the earth, and it looks smaller. Now, ladies and gentlemen, it's not. It's illusionary. But we've been told, and those who have not studied the astrological signs in the heavens, and very few have, especially today, because we have been taken out of the watchman on the wall mentality. We've been taken away from the sons of Issachar mentality and given a Gregorian mentality of science and horseshoe pigeon. Now, measuring with the closest and farthest away has nothing to do with the moon's disk. When ever 2 days, the disk is 93.97% illuminated. And we know this from the U.S. Naval Observatory website. Under phases of the moon and percent of the moon illuminated. Well, if we go back to the percent of the equinox, that means equal time, it is closer to equalization in February, 60 days, if you will, as opposed to 90 days where we're measuring from at the point of measurement, and we'll give you that just in a minute. And the synchronization, although they change the times, it's nothing's out of sync. It don't look like it is. But nature reminds us when Arcturus comes up in February, always in February, one of the celestial signs or the astrological sign that is given from the heavens that Yahweh told us that he will place these times and seasons that the stars and the sun and the moon would do the ruling factor. The stars divide the night, and we have the signs and seasons for days and years, and the calendar that begin on the first evening has been thrown out of a time frame where we have an imaginary international dateline, which is, we already know that's not, it's man-made. That which is highly esteemed, remember that. It's an abomination to Yahweh. Although we have the U.S. Naval Observatory, which I have used for years and years, to set times, if you play their game, they're going to drag you, and it don't seem like it's dragging you too far. I mean, 30 days, give or take, you know, if we're pitching horseshoe at 250,000 miles away at the moon, when it's full or not full, if that's the question, we got to have something to determine, and the sons of Issachar knew exactly how to determine it because they were gifted and qualified and placed upon the earth and justified by making a calendar that would be in harmonious synchronicity to the signs of the heavens. Now, Ezekiel, as I told you, in phase two of the illumination, or in other words, first light upon the globe of the moon showing light, that's work. Work 6 days. Then what do? Well, you rest. It's given to man to rest. To remember the fourth commandment, rest. Well, if Satan could get you out of that time count, if you're to rest on the day that the beacon tells you to rest, which is the first quarter, if he can get you before the first quarter to rest on the seventh day, counting not from the month, but from the week. Man, they got some ingenious accounting systems that, you know, it's like the old saying, figures don't lie, but liars figure. And it's very hard to discern if you don't know how that they've come up with their mathematics. You can get in the dark real quick and seem justified, stand in the shadows, and deny the truth of the illumination when you put it in its proper perspective. That's what we're asking you to do. Now, the book of Luke, chapter 1, we have the courses mentioned again, which was, at this time, a Sanhedrin tradition coming from the days of Ezra, when he returned, he restored what was already as a habitual habit of the priesthood. And David picked up on it after Ezra when they built the temple. You see, the modification changed when the tent, which was at Shiloh, as opposed to the house that David built when he built the first temple, they reinstituted the courses of the priests, and they made preparation for the singers and the doorkeepers and things of this nature. And they set it in motion with tradition of illumination from the heavens and the signs that the Issacharians had established in a calendar system that Ezekiel understood quite well when he placed the division of times and the openings and then closing of the gate. And that's part of the process of the gatekeepers and the doorkeepers and things of this nature. It was men that were watching for the heavens. These are men of Issachar, men of power, who had understanding of the movement of the heavens. They were gifted in these signs, and they used them quite well of making, if you will, these systems work that Yahweh had designed, and over time has been forgotten, because his ways are not our ways, and because his ways interfered with the Babylonian way. That's why Babylon is always opposed, Babylon meaning confusion, as opposed to Yahweh's reality and truth. Yahweh is a simplistic system with these men of valor that they posted in the heavens, and rightfully so, that they kept the times and seasons that we have now avoided, and we go out of our way to keep a complicated system. If this happens, this happens, and here's an imaginary dateline, we're going to place this in the earth, and if the rotation happens to be on one side or the other in particular places, remember the day is before and the day after, depending on what side you're on. I mean, this is Babylon at its best. To say that the Gregorian calendar is a masterpiece, it's a masterpiece of darkness, as opposed to a masterpiece of the great mathematician. And he uses the heavens and the illumination of the three things that he chose, the sun, the moon, and the stars, to regulate time, with the sons of Issachar having gifted knowledge of the mind of the Father that came from the heavens. Now, we know that the priesthood is placed in there for divine purposes. Moses was instructed as the first priest of the era of the law being handed down from Mount Sinai. And yet those who followed Moses died without mercy for breaking his laws. Remember I told you about the times when the people were so religiously righteous. We had a lot of Pharisees and Sadducees and scribes who had interpreted certain things. You know, you could go only so far on a day's journey, and you were not to carry no burden, no heavier than your coat, for whatever, and you couldn't build a fire, and all this stuff. This has interpretations of men of understanding, but if you don't have any understanding, you can get in a catch-22 situation, and no wonder you throw out things that's been muddled in the puddle of understanding by these Pharisees and scribes who Christ said to beware of. Now, we should beware of the cunning craftiness of man who has taken it upon himself to deceive the very elect. Now, if you go back to the courses, and look at the courses of their service, who would you think would stand front and center to start this off? Well, would you start with whatever tribe that just come natural for you? Maybe the biggest tribe? No, that ain't how he done it. What about men of valor and understanding? Reckon they could have started off the priesthood to the first month of the year. Now, this is very important to set the beginning correctly. That's what we're trying to get and to synchronize the starting, because where you start depends on where you end up. And it's not the figures that lie, but it's the liars that do the figuring. So you got to be wise and crafty and be on the side of men of understanding. Understand? Now, if we look at the Feast of Passover, we're going to have set dates here. And the sons of Issachar knew how to set them. Now, I've got to close. My time has come and my time has gone far too quickly. I'm not going to get all this in here tonight, but I would like for you to remember tonight the Issacharian calendar, or the calendar of Issachar, as opposed to the Gregorian. And the difference that it injects into our life, the uproot. See, with tradition, if you're used to doing a certain thing on a certain day, we become creatures of habit. In other words, December the 25th, all the business places that are Christian, some where they are or not, they just want to take off, and it gives people a right to declare a holiday. We're even taking off for Martin Luther King. Now, he's a martyr before the black race, and he's got injected into the equation here that we declare a holiday here. And the banks and the government offices will be closed this coming Monday because we have observed Martin Luther King Day. Now, we're quick to keep tradition, but we're slow to keep Yahweh's understanding. You like to write me tonight? Do so. You're listening to Pastor Buddy on 5890 WWCR on the transmitting Jewel South tonight here on a late show. Saturday, if you will, and we are at Post Office Box 568. That's Pastor Buddy now. That's all you need. Just Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 568. Sweetwater, Tennessee, with the zip being 37874. Call me at area code 423-351-1082, and I'll be glad to receive your letter. We'll send you a true timepiece, if you will, something that'll give you understanding of when to worship. Now, it takes you out of the norm, it takes you out of the tradition, and it puts you into a way that is right as opposed to a way that seems right. Now, I'm sponsored tonight by my good brother up in the great state of Michigan, Brother Paul, 1-800-253-2748. By Brother Bud and by Brother Mark. Brother Mark and I had a great conversation the other night. He's a digger. I mean, you've heard of the pickers? Well, Brother Mark's a digger, and Brother Bud, and these brethren that sponsor Truth Radio, WWCR 5890, with Pastor Buddy. Now, ladies and gentlemen, it's time you got in the count. It's time you come out of tradition. And if you'd like to, go to our website tonight. That's 1Yahweh.com. oneyahweh.com, and you can read some of the facts. Now, I'm just on. I haven't even got time to get to the document that we were going to get to, which was we were going to review the true equinox. March the 20th does not even fit the definition of an equinox, and we're going to prove it. Neither does September of the season that we don't have time to get into, because there's so much to cover and so little time, that the traditional March the 20th equinox, which has 12 hours of pure light from sunrise to sunset at the horizon, and only 10 hours of pure darkness, so day and night is not equal. Now, the masterminds of deception, they thought to change this. It's a subtle change. It don't make, it don't mean much, except in you could be keeping the wrong date and not even know it. And that's why that we're bringing you this message tonight. I gotta go. My time is coming down. Yahweh bless.